Are we ready? We are totally ready.
I think Logan, just before we go off on doing any crazy things like that, that might make a lot of people think that the podcast is screwed up.
That's cool.
Hello, welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 144 for August 14th, 2008. We're glad to have you back, and hope you make your next day. Got back on Dazzle and PC Gamer with our friends, so get back until the holiday show. Ta-da! Scared? You should be. That's just a small taste of an infinite number of Logans hosting an infinite number of PC Gamer podcasts by special request from Poyta on the PC Gamer podcast forums. This is your host, Logan Decker, and I'm joined today by Editor-in-Chief Kristen Salvatore.
I'm joined today by your host, Logan Decker.
Lord
and
of
your
reviews.
Host, Logan Decker.
Dan Stapleton.
I don't know. I don't think I want to join. No, I'll
too late.
Podcast producer Andy Bauman behind the mics.
It's infinite Logan theorem.
Former editor-in-chief and star maker Gary Whitta.
Hello.
And three-time gold intern medalist intern Andy.
Klaatu Barada Nikta.
Well
done.
What
the hell did you just say?
That was kind of cool.
It's from Army of Darkness, man.
All right.
What? Oh, I thought it was the day the earth stood, whatever.
It was clear.
Well, Klaatu is from
It's from both.
Okay, gotcha.
From,
all right.
Yeah.
It comes full circle. Unfortunately, Associate Editor Evan Lotte will not be joining us today because he said he was going to the kitchen for a Hot Pocket and hasn't come back. That was on Monday. If anybody's seen him, please call the PC Gamer Podcast hotline toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724. And while you're at it, you might as well record a question for next week's podcast as well. Top of the news this week, Team Fortress 2, a heavy class update, is on the way. Gary, do you want to tell us about that, being the heavy here?
What do you mean, the heavy?
The heavy, like the big personality.
Yes, the heavyweight. The heavyweight of the PC
exactly,
gamer.
Exactly, the heavyweight gamer.
Yes, okay.
The star.
All right.
The big guy.
All right.
Dude.
Okay. I actually don't usually play heavy in Team Fortress 2. I'm more of a pyro or an engineer. But I think what you're going to see, just like you did with the pyro before it, is a lot of people next week, there's going to be heavies running around all over as people are going to want to get to grips with the new heavy achievements and the new heavy weapons.
Well, won't they just go to an achievement farm like you did, Gas?
Or you could just go to an achievement farm. I'm sure that the achievement farms will probably be up within 24 hours of all the heavy achievements being announced. As soon as they announce the heavy achievements, people will be hard at work designing achievement maps that are designed to allow you to farm all those achievements as quickly as possible. It's a shame, but what can you do? There will always be people like me who want to take the quick and easy path. So Valve is basically, it seems like, kind of teasing out the information on this new update. There's actually a lot more than just the heavy. We'll talk about this in a second, but right now what people are interested in is the new heavy weapons. The first things that have been announced is called KGB, the Killing Gloves of Boxing. And these are for your heavy melee weapon. As I'm sure everybody knows, the heavy melee weapon is basically just these two huge fists. But what you'll be able to do now with these boxing gloves on, anytime you kill an enemy with your KGB gloves, you'll receive 5 seconds of guaranteed critical hits. Which is a bit scary for anyone who's in the immediate vicinity of that heavy. I guess you could send a heavy in as kind of a brawler into a close-up zone, and he could just beat the shit out of everyone with his KGB gloves, or switch to another weapon. It's a little bit weird because it takes probably the best part of 5 seconds just to switch to your minigun and have it spin up to the point where it can start firing. So I'm not quite sure how useful this is going to be, but it's the first of the new heavy weapons to be announced. There's going to be more announced later in the week.
Well, the heavy has a shotgun as well, right?
What's that?
The heavy has a shotgun as well.
Yeah, he could switch to a shotgun very quickly and get guaranteed critical hits with the shotgun. And the critical hit, the 5 seconds do stack Every time that you you kill someone with the gloves, you will get another 5 seconds.
Whoa,
that's so awesome. If you manage to run into a room of, say, 4 people and kill them all very quickly with the gloves, I think you're going to be getting 20 seconds of critical hit time, which is basically an Uber without a medic.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
Do you think you're going to see people Ubering heavies who are going to run in with boxing gloves and beating up people while they're Ubered and then switch to the gun?
I guess, although I guess that's something that as an enemy you could see coming. You know, the heavies are not a very fast class, and you could just outrun them. You know, you just run out of melee range. I think it's going to be kind of an ambush thing. It'll be interesting. I don't think this is going to be the most effective thing. I think there's going to be more stuff later in the week that'll be announced that's more interesting than this. As I said, they're kind of teasing the info out throughout the week. The other thing they've announced is the achievements, or at least the names of the 35 heavy achievements. They've got very amusing names. You know, they're all kind of Soviet-inspired names, like Party Loyalty, Iron Curtain, Own the Means of Production, Crazy Ivan, Don't Touch Sandwich, which I like.
I want that.
Don't Touch Sandwich. Heavy Industry, Permanent Revolution, Redistribution of Health. You know, you can...
That's good.
Len in a Hand.
No way.
Borscht Belt. I guess there's a lot of speculation. You can look at the reason that Valve's doing it this way is just a bit of fun. You know, you can look at the names and at the icons and try to guess what the achievement's going to be. But I imagine they'll release the actual details of the achievements later in the week. And you know, there'll be some more heavy weapons to come too. But the other thing they announced today is one of the new maps called Badwater Basin. This was just announced, so even I'm just looking at it now. It's a new payload map where you have to push the bomb cart through the map, focusing more on open spaces and less on checkpoints. So if you like Gold Rush, if you like those maps where you have to kind of congregate around the bomb cart and push it from one point to another, this will be right up your street, I'm sure.
Must push the little cart.
Yeah. So there's more coming. There'll be another update tomorrow, and then one on, I guess, Monday, and then one on Tuesday. And I think Tuesday is the day when it all unlocks, when the new maps and all the heavy weapons will be announced. So expect to see a lot of heavies running around. And I think this will be interesting. I played in a game the other night where, just for fun, we all went heavy. And we absolutely dominated.
Really?
I'm not sure if that's supposed to happen. You know, usually if you just all go one class, there's usually a fatal flaw with any one of those ideas. Maybe we just weren't playing a very good team, but I think you're going to see a lot of blood and guts over the next couple of weeks, because you know heavies are, you know, there's a very high body count class, and you're going to see a lot of people getting the achievements and running around trying to, you know, experiment with the new weapons. So that'll be fun.
What are some of the best anti-heavy tactics?
Snipers.
Run away. Run away and hide. You know, again, what's going to be interesting about this update is that heavies on their own are not incredibly effective. They're very, very vulnerable to snipers, especially when they're firing, because they're so big and slow moving that it's incredibly easy to kill them one shot with a sniper. Or you can ambush them from behind with a pyro. But when they're teamed up with a medic, you know, obviously they're very, very dangerous. But what Robin Walker from Valve has been talking about in his blog is the main focus of the heavy update has been about making them less medic dependent, because this is kind of the duality of the heavy: very, very strong with a medic, kind of vulnerable without one. So they are beefing up the heavy by making them more viable without a medic. Usually people won't play heavy unless they think there's going to be a medic to accompany them. So I think this is designed to make people feel better about playing a heavy without needing a medic to back them up all the time.
Yeah, and there's got to be some health restoring ability based just on that redistribution of health.
Yeah exactly. It looks like there's going to be some attempt to give them some kind of solo functionality based
heavy
on health.
Heal thyself.
The one thing that I would love to see as a heavy, this may overpower them a little bit too much, but the only thing I ever noticed about heavy is you run out of ammunition a lot. You know, you only get 200 bullets, and when you're constantly firing, you just plain run out of ammo. So maybe there'll be a way Maybe they'll you know, the new gun will hold more bullets or something. I don't know. Or maybe there'll be a way to replenish your ammo more easily.
So, Logan, what's next?
That's a hell of a heavy update.
Did anyone else know the heavy was Soviet commie? Because I didn't get that impression until reading about the new updates.
Did you ever listen to
his accent?
Yeah.
I guess I'm just not in. I don't know my country's accents. And...
you need to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously meant to be kind of like an Eastern Bloc kind of guy, and this I guess confirms that he's, you know, a big, one of these big Soviet Ivan Drago type characters. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to playing the. Like, I've been playing a little bit of Heavy recently, just to kind of, you know, kind of preemptively familiarize myself with it in lieu of these new weapons coming. And it's a fun class. Like I said, it's a little bit frustrating because it's very slow, particularly when you're firing. And people just tend to run away from you, you know, which is why I think one of the, you know, the heavy speech, you know, he often says, you know, come back, cowards, and this kind of thing. Because once a heavy starts blazing away with his minigun, you know, you really just need to get the hell out of there.
I like that his current melee weapon are his massive fists. Because that's my personal melee weapon, too.
Yeah, he has the two huge fists. And the other thing I didn't mention about the KGB, the gloves, is that your fists will move a little bit slower with the gloves on. So, you know, you won't be able to go in there just, you know, fists swinging around. It's probably, I don't know, half a second extra or whatever.
They're made out of cement.
The gloves. But if it's true and these 5 seconds really do stack and you're able to go in and punch out two or three people, then you're gonna essentially be able to Uber yourself, or at least Kritzkrieg Uber yourself, without a medic, and that's gonna be pretty scary. I like this one that's called Croc Block. I want to know what that is.
That could be a number of things. So that's coming out next week, is that?
Yeah, Tuesday I think is when it all gets unveiled. Tomorrow and Monday they'll probably announce more about the achievements, and I imagine that there's going to be some. Traditionally, with the pyro and the medic, each one of the three weapons that you can carry, you know, your primary, your alternate, and your melee, have each received a change. So this is the melee change, which is, as I said, probably the least interesting. The minigun and the shotgun changes, or if they've added something else that isn't a shotgun, those are going to be more interesting.
Well, then, if you don't want a heavy breathing down your neck, then you may want to avoid Team Fortress 2 next week, as the killing gloves of boxing will be all over you. It seems that not all developers have an aversion to BitTorrent. EA has chosen BitTorrent to distribute Warhammer Online, which is an interesting and perfectly sensible approach, as the beta client is almost 10 gigabytes.
Oof.
Does everyone know how BitTorrent works?
Yeah.
It's kind of like this. For anyone who doesn't understand BitTorrent and why it's such a popular method of distribution, it's like, let's say I have a book with all these pages in it, like 100 pages, and 10 other people want the book. And they contact me and they say, hey, can you start giving us pages? So I copy pages from my book and start giving out to all these 10 people. And as they accumulate pages, they start copying pages for other people and trading the pages among themselves. So instead of me having to use my bandwidth to deliver pages to each of these 10 people, I just start handing out pages left and right to as many people as possible, and they start doing the same thing. So everyone becomes a uploader and a downloader at the same time. Everyone provides pages and takes pages until eventually everyone has full copies of the same book.
Now, it's a very
isn't
efficient...
Isn't this how Blizzard have been providing their patches and updates for some time?
Right.
They use a bit more
I
time.
Was going to say, I recall getting the World of Warcraft open beta this exact same way, and it was pretty effective. And
right, the Blizzard downloader uses a BitTorrent-like protocol. I'm not sure if it's BitTorrent exactly, but it's a peer-to-peer download client. And you know, the only reason this is remarkable is because BitTorrent has such a stigma attached to it of piracy, because the vast majority of BitTorrent traffic out there is pirate traffic. So it's kind of shocking to see like EA say, you know, go download a BitTorrent client and get this. But at the same time, you know, the protocol itself is you know, benign. It's just what you use it for, and this is a legitimate use for it. So
I like the way that Logan explained it too, with that little analogy. It was like BitTorrent for dummies. It's very
Because I mean, if you get into the nitty gritty, it gets really complicated. But that's just the high level look, because you also need something like trackers to basically know who's got which pages and that kind of thing. And there's all these terms like seeding and superseding.
It took me ages to understand BitTorrent when I first started to get involved in it. I use a site called UK Nova, which is basically you can go there and download British television shows. And I get it. I get Doctor Who and my weekly, you know, soap opera dose from it and stuff like that. And I couldn't understand when I first started using BitTorrent. It was really confusing. Like, you download this little file and go, that can't be the file.
Right.
And it's not. I guess it's just kind of like a locator that kind of finds the thing that you're looking for on the internet. And then you actually start downloading from all the people that have it. And the site that I use is actually really strict. I'm not sure if other sites are like this, but it's kind of a cool system where they basically kind of police their users to make sure that they contribute as much as they take.
Yeah.
You have a ratio between how much you seed and how much you leech. And if you leech more than you seed, then they start to restrict your access, because they want to make sure that people aren't just downloading all the time, but they're also making their own downloads and their own, you know, server bandwidth available for, you know, to re-upload stuff so other people can get it.
Sorry, is just somebody who takes pages but doesn't spend as much time copying them and giving pages out to other people. So
does everybody use Comcast for their?
No.
What do you all use?
I'm on AT&T.
I use Comcast.
I'm a Comcast person too.
Comcast actually sort of came back around on their first when they started. If they would have a sense of BitTorrent, I forgot exactly how they would detect that you were doing an upload that was going to a BitTorrent or something. They would just cap your upload speed and take to zero.
They can filter traffic based on you know, a variety of factors, but they were actually sued over it, which is why they stopped doing it.
Well, but, I mean, you know, BitTorrent traffic can be really heavy. If you're downloading something on BitTorrent, that can really screw your connection. You can forget about anything else on the internet when you're downloading a BitTorrent.
I was also going to bring up a lot of the problems Blizzard had with – well, not Blizzard, but a lot of the clients trying to download the original World of Warcraft open beta off BitTorrent. There's a lot of, like, FAQs that they're going to have to support in order for people to, you know, open up the right ports on their routers and do this sort of thing, because sometimes you can run into a lot of trouble trying to get, you know, open ports so the BitTorrent can function properly.
Right.
Yeah. I hope that
doesn't happen. It can be. It's not a big deal to be a responsible BitTorrent user, though. You know, if you want to make sure that you seed a lot, you know, the upstream is a lot less than downstream. So once you've downloaded a bunch of files, you just, as long as you leave your BitTorrent program active, you know, kind of in the background, people can leech from you, and the upstream is not going to affect your bandwidth. So usually I just leave my Azurius or whatever it is that I use, I leave it on in the background so that people can, you know, I'm doing my bit for the torrent community.
Right. Though I don't think that that in this case with the Warhammer with Warhammer, it's going to track who's uploading, who's downloading. They just want to get it out there.
Yeah.
So they're not going to require you to seed anything.
One thing I love about BitTorrent, why it's such a great technology, is because it allows anybody to do what before only huge corporations could afford to do. Like, let's say I have a band and I want to start giving away my music so people to get my name out there. But so I have like 100 megabyte file that it's got my record on it. But if I had 10,000 people downloading that record from my website, I'm paying massive amounts of money to get my music out there, which I probably couldn't afford. But BitTorrent allows me to just get the torrent file out there, and then all the fans start exchanging the files amongst themselves. You know, so I don't have to pay for all that distribution, which is why EA is going for this, because they know that, you know, another reason that they're going for it is because they don't have to worry about server overload. You know, because not everyone's not going directly to them to download the file.
Right. I've seen some massive Oblivion mods distributed this way.
Yeah. So it's a great protocol. It doesn't have to be, you know, there's a lot of piracy associated with it. But it's still a great technology. You do need two things. You need the BitTorrent protocol, which is a file you can get it, I believe, bittorrent.org, and then a BitTorrent client as well. That can use the protocol, but you know, there's tons of facts out there. Just Google BitTorrent and FAQ, and you'll get the skinny on that. Or just go to the Warhammer Online site, and I'm sure they'll tell you there as well.
Did you guys hear about how
opening the door to the world of BitTorrenting, though? Because it will, you know, it's 99% the dark side.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are only a handful of legitimate uses, I think, for BitTorrent. If you look at what most people are using it for, they are pirates. Yep. And you know, you're going to expose yourself to a lot of free stuff. And if you don't have a very strong constitution, you could find yourself tempted to walk the dark path. And we don't want to see anybody doing that.
Have a strong moral compass.
They might have to be worried about media defender.
Keep PC gaming healthy.
Yeah. Or that company that did a denial of service attack on the Revision 3 servers when they BitTorrent a lot of their podcasts out, and like their servers got DDoS by a company striving to, you know, end piracy, and they got in big trouble. So hopefully EA doesn't run into that. Yeah.
Moving on. Crisis Warhead system requirements have been unveiled, and they are nearly identical to the original Crisis requirements.
You should specify, though, that minimum requirements are different from the recommended requirements. The minimum requirements of Crisis were already pretty low, right?
They were bad. Of course, it meant that, you know, it certainly affected your game experience, but no, they weren't.
Oh, yeah, it looked like reasonable. Ass.
Yeah.
But,
so that depends on what you mean by not bad. Could you run the game on a machine like that? Yes, you could. Could you enjoy it?
Hey, how come Crisis Warhead's coming out on the consoles? Didn't Crytek make all this noise at the time of the original Crisis going, oh, this could only ever be done on a PC, we're not even
going
to bother?
Yeah, but they have since decided that for a variety of reasons, mostly economic, that it's not in their best interest to only release things on the PC, and you can't really argue with that.
Since when is Warhead? Warhead's not coming out on the consoles.
I think it is.
Not Warhead.
Warhead is
it's PC.
Yeah, Warhead's PC only.
But Far Cry 2 I'm thinking of.
Yeah, moving forward, Crytek has said that they won't necessarily be developing PC exclusive, but Warhead is PC exclusive.
Yeah, like if this one doesn't do well, I think they said they were going to just move on to not keeping everything PC exclusive.
I suspect whether it does well or not.
Maybe Chavat wants one of those islands that they're making in Dubai, you know, shaped like the palm tree.
Pretty much what they said. Pretty much what they said was that that they weren't going to do any more PC exclusive games. You know, they would do cross platform. But since Crysis is already a PC property. This is kind of not a standalone expansion, but a continuation, as they call it. You know, that they just continued that on the PC. But I think they said something about that. You know, how well this does would determine the future of you know, PC exclusivity. You know, projects they might do.
Yeah, but come on, that's sort of silly. Like, let's face it. I mean, of course, it's going to do less than it would do that if you put it out on multiple platforms, because. Yeah. You know, you just opened your audience up. Like, that's kind of a silly measurement.
I don't think they're expecting it to do like that well, but I think they're expecting it to sell better than Crysis did. Now, getting back to the requirements, supposedly Crysis Warhead will run smoother on your system than Crysis did, because they've done a lot of optimization. Chuck actually played it a while back on a relatively lower end system and said it it looked really good and had a very good frame rate. I'm not exactly sure what the specifications were on the system he was playing on, though. In the preview we did on it, we ran a box out that was I guess the system was what Crytek told us they were running it on. That you could have it for like $650.
Yeah.
So. We'll be doing our own testing on our own systems when the review copy comes in, so we'll be able to verify that then. But allegedly, it's much improved.
Maximum.
Yeah, and we will be controlling that hardware. You know, we'll be, you know, it'll be our test, our independent test of how well does this game really run on a computer that's spec'd out. You know,
ooh, email zombie alert, people.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Just received an email zombie alert.
They're back. Well, they're doing a biting thing in San Francisco this weekend, right?
Yeah, that's right. The zombie, the flash.
Yeah,
mob.
They did a zombie.
Another one of those flash mobs.
Yeah, they did one in Salt Lake last weekend. It was like a zombie march. Yeah, so stupid.
But it's awesome. You can duct tape an X to your person, and then you'll be attacked, and you turn into a zombie.
And
you
join the mob.
Yeah,
and I mean,
so they're not allowed to attack anyone that hasn't given their consent by wearing.
Apparently, that's
because they cover you in blood and all that.
They're very polite zombies.
Yeah.
It's like zombie LARPing.
It's kind of zombie
basically
LARPing,
what it is.
Yeah.
But you know what'll suck?
Or
is that...
it would be more like DARPing.
Yeah.
But the problem is when the real zombies come, everybody's going to go, oh, You know, here they are again.
Most people realize that they're playing directly into the zombies' hands. They'll be like, well, I don't have an X on me, so I should be fine.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The real zombies are going to give a shit about that.
You know, they'll be taking pictures with their camera phone just before their heads are ripped off.
This is the boy who cried zombie.
Well, apparently they're already in the third floor bathroom, so.
Oh.
I think that instead of, in all seriousness, instead of, you know, treating this like it's a fun thing, you know, and basically kind of lowering our alert, we should actually have real government-sponsored zombie drills.
Yeah.
On a regular basis where people take this shit seriously.
That would be awesome if there was, in contradiction to the zombie flash mob, there was like a take the zombies down flash mob.
Left for Dead. There's four people who LARP the upcoming
game. Would bring the country back together in the way, because we've become so polarized in the past, you know, 8 years or so.
What we need is an issue that we all agree on.
Absolutely.
And we all agree that zombies are a threat that needs to be taken seriously.
But I don't know. I hate to get all left-winger on you, but, I mean, are zombies really the threat? We've just been told they are, but...
Maybe they're just looking for a better place to make their, you know, their future.
Yeah, why should we assume that like, we own the Earth and zombies don't, and the undead don't?
Just because they're not like you, Gary.
Land of the Dead changed.
Why should the American dream only apply to the living?
That's an excellent point. So yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's a little reactionary, Gary. But I respect your opinion. I just think I'm not willing to go that far yet.
I'm biased against the living impaired. That's my.
Well, this is a little weird. Muckrakers over at the Inquirer are claiming that all the NVIDIA G84, G86, G92, and G94 GPUs are bad. Not bad, meaning bad, not bad, meaning good. Bad meaning that they don't work, apparently, or that they're failing in mass quantities. The hysterical tone of the article is a little over the top, especially because I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, I'm using one right now, and I'm pretty sure it's not failing.
I mean, I get scads of email every day from readers, and I've yet to hear of any failures of any of these processors, which includes almost the entire 8000 series line, as well as a huge chunk of the 9000 series line, as well as some mobile chips. So it's a little sketchy to me. Readers, listeners out there, let us know if you've had any major problems with these cards. I think that it's a little weird. I understand that sometimes maybe a little cash changes hands for tips with the Inquirer, I hear. I don't know. but it's certainly if it's true, it would be apocalyptic, but I'm not so sure about that. So if you've had any major problems with your cards, let us know. letters@pcgamer.com. And bring it on. Star Trek Online, new trailer, much excitement. That's the story.
Talk about Star Trek Online last week.
We did, but we just talked about
the fact. About it enough? I don't think so.
When we were talking about it, we didn't have all the information that came out last weekend.
One thing that everyone seems to have latched onto is this idea of creating your own customized races. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and you'll be able to play. I think somewhere they said you'd be able to play as Klingon, but mostly they're talking about Federation right now, and the Federation, you know, is a bunch of different races. So they've got a bunch of the main ones in there, but you can also create your own, which is a very cryptic thing to do. From Cryptic Studios. because their editor in City of Heroes was so crazy that you could do pretty much anything you want. And also in Star Trek, it makes perfect sense because it seemed like they were using one of those, you know, create random character generator buttons every week on the series too. So,
This is crazy though, letting players do it though. If you create one of these, create a new wacky character in an official Star Trek game, does that then become canon? It's all very weird.
Why don't they do a crossover with Sporpedia? That would be awesome. Yeah. The Boobalicious in Star Trek Online.
That'd be awesome.
But they're kind of sidestepping canon anyway because they're it takes place like 30 years after the last movie, so they can do, you know, whatever they want. So that's not really a big I don't think it's they're saying any of this is going to be, you know, canon. Not that that really means anything anymore anyway. They change it all the time. But the stuff that came out was you are going to have, like, everybody's going to have their own ship.
Very nice decision.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I personally would like to see kind of a hybrid between that and allowing people to crew bridge stations, because for me, Star Trek has always been about, you know, the crew, not just the captain. So
that doesn't mean you want to be just one of those crew schlubs. Nobody wants to be Chekhov. Everybody wants to be Kirk.
I'd kill my character.
But a lot of people would like to be Spock. A lot of people would like to be, you know, Scotty. And, you know,
I think a tiny percentage, though, really, overall.
Ooh, can I be Data?
I think. Yeah, see. But I think there's, you know, appeal to all those characters, and the captains in a lot of cases were not the most interesting characters in the shows. So I guess the challenge there would be making that gameplay interesting. What I guess I would have liked to have seen is a combination where you could have your own ship, or you can jump into your buddy's ship and crew one of his stations. But that would obviously not be the easiest thing to design, I guess.
This is always a problem when they have these MMOs that are based on these big universes. You know, like DC Universe Online is all well and good in theory, but, like, you don't get to be Superman. You know, you don't get to be Batman. Just like this was the first time we ever saw this problem was in Star Wars Galaxies. When, you know, everybody, of course, wants to be a Jedi, but you can't have a world that's populated, you know, all by Jedis, because they're supposed to be very rare. So, like, how do you make that work?
Especially in that case, they set the time period was between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, which was like the historic low point of how many
Jedi's basically all wiped out.
Right.
So that was really weird. And then, I mean, it was a big deal when the first player in the game became a Jedi. I mean, they made it astonishingly difficult, you know, to become a Jedi.
And then they totally reversed that and made it really easy.
But, you know, so this is a similar problem they're going to have with Star Trek. You know, you're not going to get to be Kirk or Picard. You're probably not going to get to command the Enterprise. You know, there's going to be all these kind of made up races running around. What is it about this that's really going to make it feel like Star Trek?
Yeah, that is an issue. And is
it possible that the made up races will only apply locally to your machine somehow?
No,
because I am a little confused about how that's going to pan out. If you have, you know, 1 million people creating 10 million races.
Well, I mean, the races, when you think about it, I mean, all they really have to do is let you create a different set of forehead bumps. You know, that's what Star Trek always did.
Choose your forehead prosthetic here.
Yeah, where does the bump go on your face is the only real question. Like, what color is your skin? So it's not like they're going to be creating some kind of crazy, 17
arms. Well, hold on. Weren't we talking last week about how one of the benefits of doing it this way is they were going to be able to have non-humanoid races?
Well,
they were going to have more alien-looking races.
Well, actually, I called that a detriment, but because that doesn't feel like Star Trek if you have a bunch of non-humanoid races running around.
There's no way to win with you either. If you don't have humanoid aliens, it doesn't feel like Star Trek, and if you do, they all feel the same because it's just different forehead ridges.
No, I didn't say that was a bad thing. I said they should do that because that would make it feel like Star Trek.
That there's no way to win with him is not a bad thing, is what he's saying.
I'm saying that by having, you know, a limited character generator that allows you to place bumps on the forehead, that is Star Trek. That's a good thing. But having players create random little races just like they did on the show every single week isn't a bad thing.
I thought this week's Penny Arcade cartoon about it wasn't hilarious. It wasn't as good as some of the stuff they usually do, but I thought he made a good point about the game, you know, where the guy gives the Starfleet officer a quest and makes it sound like it's going to be incredibly difficult to, you know, venture to the top of the mountain and get this quest item, and the guy just beams in and out and gets it. and it raises that interesting question of when you build an MMO around, you know, an existing, you know, a world that has existing rules, how do you work around those rules? How do you limit transporter technology in the game so that people just can't beam anywhere they want? I mean, this is the sort of headache that the designers are going to have.
I think that's got to be like the easiest problem to solve in that universe. I mean, there are so many like transporter interference.
Actually, you're right. It was like every week on Star Trek there was some reason why they couldn't beam in and out of someplace.
Right,
no, Ion Cloud.
I mean, they had to limit it in the show because otherwise the show would be over as fast as the mission. It's like, you know, they get a problem, well, just beam in and get it, you know.
Yeah, so, there was always something in the rock that interfered with their transporter signal or something.
Yeah, there's something in the rock. There's shields. There's radiation. There's atmospheric effects. You know,
God for transporter buffers. Whew.
So yeah, that is the least of their problems, I think. But anyway, they've said that you're going to have gameplay in your ship. So you'll be able to have missions that you do in your ship, presumably like go and clear out an infestation of voles running around in your ship or something, or fix the warp core or something. These are hypotheticals, of course.
I guess I can kind of see that working in kind of a Mass Effect type way. I enjoyed kind of walking around the ship in Mass Effect.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you can go to the different planets and have away teams, and it's going to be, I don't know how much they're planning on doing. Clearly from the environments, you know, it looks like it's being based around a typical kind of walking around on land type RPG. Are they also going to have space combat?
They are. They absolutely are. The trailer they showed, which you can see at StarTrekOnline.com, is mostly space combat that they show. They also show like some Klingon boarding parties on a Federation ship bridge, shooting people with phasers, which is kind of neat. They've said that there will be melee combat, so there will be Klingons with batleths smacking people.
I've got to go look at this trailer. I haven't seen it yet.
For shame. There's also a 40-minute video on there of Leonard Nimoy introducing the game at a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas last weekend, and then Jack Emmer, the lead designer, I guess he's like the creative lead at Cryptic.
Cryptic.
Yeah, he goes into some detail about what they're doing, and it's an interesting watch. I recommend it to anybody who's curious about the game, including you guys.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm gonna download the quick.
Does anybody know when the movie's coming out? The new one?
It's supposed to be like March of next year.
Hmm. Oh, March of next year?
Yep.
Good Lord.
It was supposed to be end of this year, but got pushed back.
Are they just waiting for Winona Ryder to look older?
That could help.
Okay. Well, I'll still see it, and I'll probably still love it.
There's an interesting poll here on the Star Trek Online page. After more than 5,000 votes, what do you think was the winner for the favorite series of all the Star Trek TV series? 43% of people voted for it. TNG was the most popular.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, the original series was second to last, and only 1% above Enterprise. How does that work?
It's sad, considering how terrible Enterprise was.
Voyager and Deep Space Nine both got almost twice as many votes as Star Trek, the original series.
And it's sad that Voyager is anywhere near DS9. But anyway.
It's higher.
Series?
What?
The series with the Great Captain, you mean? Yeah.
According to this, Voyager is better than Deep Space Nine.
I'd say so.
Snooze. It's really a shame that people have no taste.
Bajorans. They were so dull. Dullsville.
That's why they blew a bunch of stuff up in that show.
Yeah, Deep Space Nine was such a great idea. Like, you know, we built a show on exploration. Now let's set a show on a place that doesn't go anywhere.
But that, they had the wormholes, so they didn't have to go very far. You know, I actually just rewatched the majority of DS9. I borrowed the DVDs from somebody who has enough money to buy. They're like $80 a season. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I've been burning through those, and you know it's actually like the early seasons are even better than I remembered. I mean, I remember them as being slow. They're actually not that slow.
Well, the early seasons are okay. I'm one of those people, though, that thinks the show only really got into gear when they went into the whole epic war storyline.
Oh,
that's when it got interesting for me.
Seasons 5, 6, and 7 were awesome.
Yeah, that was brilliant stuff.
Much better than anything Voyager ever did. Anyway.
He had to throw a grenade at just as
always
he was
has to have the last word.
That's right. Okay.
Or
questions. We love questions.
Salutations, PC Gamer staff. This is Chris McGee in Lexington, Kentucky. I have a hardware question for you, preferably maybe for Logan to answer. I have an old set of Cambridge Soundworks speakers, 4.1, that I would like to finally upgrade, get into the 21st century, get myself at least a 5.1 setup, preferably higher, like 7.1. And I was wondering basically what brand and maybe even model of speakers you would recommend that I purchase. I'm not looking for the top of the line. I'm not looking for the cheapest either. Just something good in mid-range that's good for gaming, good for watching Blu-ray movies, that sort of thing. I would also prefer that at least the rear satellites be wireless, but they don't have to be. Or even all the satellites, for that matter, be wireless. But I realize those are more expensive, and I've heard maybe some problems with them. But I'd like to get your opinion on what would be a good, solid 5.1 or 7.1 speaker setup to get for my gaming system and Blu-ray movie watching system. Thanks, and keep up the wonderful work on the podcast.
So I have a question. Who here actually has a 5.1 or a 7.1 speaker setup for their PC?
I have 5.1, the Logitech ones that you're probably looking up.
The 530s?
I don't know.
I have 5.1 speakers, but given the setup of where I'm, got my computer now, I don't have the actual 5.1 setup going, though I do have the speakers.
I have a Logitech 5.1 speaker system, and I got to tell you, I've been fairly underwhelmed with it since I bought it. I don't feel like I'm, being immersed into the game as much more so than when I just had regular old stereo speakers. I've got them all set up just right, all the effects.
Are you sure you got it set up just right? Like you're positioned?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got them positioned exactly as they should be. I ran the speaker test, where it sends a sound to each speaker, so you make sure that all the channels are set up correctly. And I haven't yet played any game where I felt like I'm being sucked into the game immersively by the sound any more so than before. Maybe they're pretty basic Logitech speakers. I don't know if I should get a better setup or something, but
I actually still like playing games best with my headphones on.
I'm in Gaz's camp personally. I have the 5.1s, and like it's nice for movies, but in games I don't really notice it. Every so often I'll notice the sounds coming from the right or the left, but you can get that in 2.1.
I definitely notice it, but unfortunately my room, the way it's shaped is horrible for a 5.1 system. So the only way I can do it is if, like this guy said, if they had a wireless set in the back, which luckily Creative does. I use the Creative GigaWorks G550W, and the rear speakers are wireless. A lot of people have problems.
There's no interference problems?
Well, a lot of people say they have interference problems. I've never had interference problems. Well, I shouldn't say that. I've had a dropout or two.
Now,
that could be from microwave.
Does your iPhone, I've had, my girlfriend has a Treo that sometimes she'll leave it near my desk. And, even with wired speakers, I get interference on that.
Yes, but that will still happen, like you said, with wired speakers as well. Although, there is a fantastic, now that we're on it, tip that I found on the MacLife website. If you go to MacLife.com,
This will not make your PC explode, we promise.
No, it won't. But go to MacLife.com and do a search on ferrite beads, and they have a fantastic tip on how to, if you do have interference from a phone coming through your speakers, wired or wireless, they have a very, very simple tip on how to get rid of that using USB cables that you probably have already in your house, and it's really cool. The name of the article is called iPhone Buzzkill. But again, it applies to all kinds of phones.
I might have to get that because I have an iPhone and it makes my speakers buzz all the time.
The tip. And have you ever seen a USB cable with a funny knobby thing near the plug?
Yeah.
Yes, that is a ferrite bead in there. And if you attach that bead, if you pry it out of the USB cable and attach it to your speaker cable, you'll notice the interference will stop.
Oh, cool. I actually have an extra one of those attachments lying around.
Yeah. So.
Well, is there any advantage to having it on a USB cable?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I think an electrical engineer out there might be able to tell us, but
Because I have plenty of USB cables that don't have that and doesn't seem to cause a problem.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they put them on. But like I was telling this guy earlier, I do use the wireless GigaWorks G550W. I do have some dropouts every now and then, but I'm very happy with it. I love gaming with 5.1 systems, and I actually don't care for it in movies. So I'm just, my perspective is just the opposite. I don't like it going on behind my back.
I should.
When I'm watching a movie, it freaks me out.
I should disclose that I'm in no way an audiophile. I can barely tell the difference between like 128 kbps MP3s and like 256. So, yeah, I'm probably not the best or most reliable source on that.
Well, let me talk about my setup. I've got the Logitech, the Z5500 digitals, and they are incredible value. So even if like you're not like into a 5.1 system or like you're not sure, they're probably one of the only systems that you can still buy. Is that the one you were looking at and they're discontinued?
I was thinking of the Z580s.
Oh, the cheaper ones.
One of the best setups I've used, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are only about $350 for a whole setup, and that's really powerful, good sounding. And the great thing about them is you can... I sound like the freaking like PR guy for them. But they have like an optical in, and it has Dolby decoding built into the system itself. It has like this little panel thing, and so you can plug in your PlayStation 3 and it decodes digital sound directly into your speakers, which is really awesome.
Well, so to wrap up the question, I love the wireless speakers that I use. Again, it's only the rear speakers that are wireless. They're from Creative GigaWorks, G550W. They're like $400. They're expensive, so you may want to, you know, ratchet down to something that's like 2.1, maybe just for the interim. They think the non-wireless version is about 150 less, called the GigaWorks G500. But I love the sound from the speakers. They're really high quality. I had no problems with it. But I think that we should take a look at, in the near future, some of the good speaker sets that have come out lately. We just did a whole big spread on headsets, which you'll find coming very soon in the November issue. Mm-hmm. So take a look out for that. We also review a couple of new sound cards as well. But keep your ears and eyes open, and we will do a new speaker roundup in the next few months. Take one more question.
Hey, guys. Lime 115. If they are going to have the crews and stuff in the Star Trek Online, they'd probably have to do it along the lines of Puzzle Pirates, where they just have a bunch of people doing separate duties and then one person commanding the entire thing.
I am not going to admit that I enjoyed Puzzle Pirates.
No.
You just did.
Did you? Oh, Kristen, I heard it. I heard it in your voice.
I tried to play Puzzle Pirates.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I didn't.
So yeah, I think he's very right, though, and if I understand the concept of Puzzle Pirates, which I have not played, it's a bunch of different people playing different mini-games, and how they do in those mini-games affects the performance of the ship as a whole.
Exactly. That is exactly it.
I should jump in there and say, actually, the mini-games I loved, the whole concept didn't come together quite well for me.
Yeah.
Right.
I think those kind of little mini game things. Those were great.
Yeah, and it would be nice if they did something along those lines, except, you know, kind of beef up the mini games a little bit. Maybe have like different options, like not have the same mini game over and over again. Yeah.
I know. I loved the one that was like Tetris, but you were actually a carpenter. You were like trying to you had to like mend a hole in the boat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like there were holes in your ships, and you had shapes. Yeah. And little shapes
of wood, and you had to fit them in it. That was fun.
I'm glad the conversation came back around to Star Trek Online, though, because I just watched that trailer too, and it does look really good. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it looks nice. I'm a little bit disappointed they went straight for the Borg in that trailer.
I was going to say, but that's one of the good things about it, though. The Borg is one of the coolest things about Star Trek, and it looks like the Borg will be in this.
But they're blowing up a bunch of Borg ships right and left. That's kind of, you know, antithetical to the whole concept of the Borg. So that always bugged me. That's one of the things that pissed me off about Voyager, is that they dumped down the Borg.
Well, if it's 30 years in the future, maybe Federation technology is improved.
Yeah, and the Borg just sat around and didn't do anything. Okay, yeah.
Nerds!
By Puzzle Pirates, you can try it for free.
Dan, are you a Trekker or a Trekkie?
After Enterprise, I just washed my hands of it for the most part.
Ooh, brutal.
Hey, that's a little harsh. That doesn't mean that everything that came before was crap, especially Voyager.
I'm going to let them. I'm going to, you know, maybe let them win me back with the next movie, but they ran that franchise right into the ground.
Yeah, the Enterprise is absolutely the low point in Star Trek history. Sad.
But you knew that when the sort of light rock theme came on from the very first episode. Well, let's talk about what we've been playing this week. Dan, how about you?
I've been playing a lot of Sid Meier's Civilization IV Colonization.
Yes, I've been watching over your shoulder the whole week. It's intriguing.
It's actually a very nice-looking game.
It's really nice-looking.
Yeah, they gave the Civ IV engine a very nice coat of spit shine.
You know, you don't have to give it away, but did it? It looked like you were. It was hard.
Well, it depends on what difficulty level you're playing at.
Okay, what difficulty were you playing at?
I was on like the third from the bottom. And you know, I played a lot of the original Colonization. I played a lot of Civilization, and this one has a little bit of a sting to it as the difficulty level goes up. But yeah, we'll save it for the review.
Okay, Gary, how about you?
Well, let's just take Team Fortress 2 as a given.
You know, right?
I think we can just. I'm not even going to even mention it anymore on the podcast because you know, we can just assume there's always going to be a little bit of Team Fortress 2. But the game I've been playing the most of, it's an Xbox game, but it is coming to PC, so it is relevant.
Braid.
Is Braid. Yeah, absolutely. It's
great stuff about this.
Yeah, I really want to play
absolutely
it.
Absolutely. Very upset it came to the Xbox first because I want to play that.
If you have an Xbox or you know if you're willing to wait for the PC version, it's going to cost about $15 to buy it from Xbox Live Arcade. I think it's probably going to be around the same on PC, and it is absolutely so far my game of the year. And it's you know you've only
really?
Got to go on and get some of the reviews to see how well it's being reviewed. It's an absolutely fantastic little game. It's the best thing I've played since.
Can you
Portal.
Explain what
it's,
it is?
Yeah, it's I mean it's a weird game that kind of marries traditional concepts of old-fashioned two-dimensional side-scrolling platforming like Super Mario Brothers with a really, really innovative kind of third dimension that's based around the manipulation of time. And so there's some platforming, but it's really more puzzle-based where you have to kind of figure out how to reach these puzzle pieces which are hidden on the screen in places that at first glance will appear almost impossible to reach. But through clever manipulation of the game's various time mechanics, which will let you rewind and fast forward time at various speeds, you can come up with ingenious solutions to the puzzles, and it's really really fiendishly clever. And the whole thing is a kind of little bit artsy fartsy and kind of whimsical and melancholy, in as such as the game's storyline is very kind of strange and based all around the story of this guy's kind of lost love and his attempts to kind of go back and fix the mistakes that he made in his relationship. So all the kind of the narrative themes about, you know, whether you can, turn back time from making a mistake and go back and do things differently marry really, really well with the time manipulation mechanics of the game. It's really, really cleverly done, and it's quite beautiful in places.
If I did that, I know I'd make things worse. I can tell you that right off the bat.
And you can, in fact, do that. And there's a couple of little wrinkles and twists at the end of the game that kind of subvert some of the things that you think you've been doing throughout the game. And it's the art style in the game is worth mentioning as well. It's all kind of done in this impressionistic painted style that almost looks like something from like a Monet painting or something. It's really, really beautiful. You can get it right now on Xbox Live, but the designer is also bringing it to PC. I'm not sure what the distribution method for that will be, maybe Steam or something similar to that. But keep your eye on it. Go to braid-game.com if you want to check it out. It's absolutely. I guarantee you now. In the same way that I felt confident about this when Portal first came out, this is definitely going to be a game that people are going to be talking about at the end of the year when we do our Game of the Year conversations. And I think it's going to win a few awards.
Jeremy Williams described it the same way to me yesterday. He brought up Portal as well, not because of the gameplay, but just that same sort of idea of it being something really different.
But I mean,
yeah, and the clever thing about it is it keeps things fresh because it's not the same mechanic throughout. You know, you can always rewind and fast forward time, but in each I don't want to make any spoil any of the surprises in the game, but each new level adds a different twist on the mechanic. So no two levels actually play by exactly the same rules. But once you become familiar with the basic rules, you can start to figure out the puzzles. And some of them will really have you bashing your head against the wall. It's that kind of classic difficulty curve from being convinced that a puzzle is impossible to like an hour later realizing that you're the smartest person in the world because you figured it out. It's really, really satisfying.
But aren't people really comparing Braid to Portal just because the narrator keeps saying that the flan is a lie? All right, whatever.
I don't have anything to say about
that. You know, at least I tried. That's what I want. That's what I want to point out to everyone here, that I had the courage to try. Kristen, what?
Am I really the only person here who's played it so far?
Yeah,
we're on deadline this week, so
I don't have an Xbox.
And I guess when it's on PC though, I definitely you've got to you should seriously for the magazine you should.
Oh, I've already emailed.
Yeah, you got to get on that because it's going to be. I think it's going to be even though it's only a small game. I think it's going to be a big deal later in the year when it comes to PC.
I hear it's a small game with a big heart.
Yes, it's a small game, but it's going to make a big splash.
Kristen, what have you been up to this week besides working your butt off day and night?
I have been playing Spore till my eyes bleed.
I've noticed that. I've been noticing that you've been playing that like a lot.
Like a lot.
Yeah, like in your sleep.
We should clarify. I saw a press release from EA saying that it went gold today, and that's like never right when they put out the press release that it says gold. It's always like 2 or 3 weeks after it's actually gone gold. So yeah, we have been working with the final code. Don't worry.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So that's
and working with it a lot. Yeah, I would say I've played. When did I get that game? 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I've played somewhere between 50 and 60 hours of it.
Holy frijoli.
Wow.
That's a lot. Why would they wait 2 weeks to tell you that it's gone gold?
I don't know. It's all like internal. Like PR people have tried to explain it to me, but it doesn't make any sense to me. I just fail to grasp the concept. It's something about internal PR and earning statements or something tied in. I don't know. It's weirdness.
Well, I've been playing. I'm still playing Jericho, believe it or not. Like I was last week, and you know what? I'm still enjoying it. I like blood. I like guts. What can I say? It's very violent. It's very scary.
It's at least 57% enjoyable.
I'm having a whale of a time, and it's got this hissing Nazi chick who's missing most of her face, and she's like, yeah! I don't know. There's just something about the atmosphere that just hits.
She
right
sounds there. Like a delight.
Yeah, yeah. Intern Andy, how about you? What have you been up to?
I have been in the midst of working my butt off on finals and my blog. I've had a lot of time that I've spent on this online flash game called Fantastic Contraption. And it's kind of along the same lines, as what Gary was talking about. It's just this fun little puzzle game that just absolutely wrecks your mind. And it's really cool because it gives you just a really simple little path of you need to get this little red ball into the goal. There's an infinite number of ways you can do it, so I've been having a lot of fun going through it 2 or 3 times. You can go and check it out at fantasticcontraption.com. I think it's just all one word.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
What about
really cool.
Our intrepid podcast producer? What has he been playing this week?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of people talk about Braid on the various podcasts that I listen to and wanting to play and cursing my lack of a 360 at the moment. But if it's coming out on PC...
I've got a 360 to play the... That murder simulator.
You got it at the PS3.
Oh, excuse me. My bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, dog. I don't know why I said that. It seemed, been also,
seemed like a good idea at the time, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, and then Peggle. I've been playing Peggle and Crysis because I'm sort of like trying to get in the mood for those next games.
Yes, I'm starting Crysis again this weekend.
Yeah, and they're both really enjoyable. I love Peggle, and I really think that you lose your skill, and it's not a skill that you necessarily have on a level that's like quantifiable. You know what I mean? It's like a Zen skill. It's like beyond.
Listen to you. Listen to the emotion in your voice.
I'm tearing up, actually.
Yeah. Like it's freaking awesome because I remember being so good at Peggle when I was like beating all the challenges. I mean, I beat all the challenges and got the status, and I haven't played it since then. Now coming back to it, I'm not as good. But it's like, why aren't I as good? It's because it's like this level of achievement attained beyond your senses. mythical.
He has clearly lost his mojo.
Can you overlay like an opera singer in the background?
Yeah.
You talked about that. Oh!
Where's Peggle Knights? When's it coming out?
Anybody? That was easily the most touching moment of the podcast. Peggle Knights is coming out. I think another month. They're right up there. They're Knights. Done.
God.
And let me tell you, it's Peggle
at night.
Goodness.
Is it just more of the same, or have they taken it to the next level?
They have brought in some interesting new powers and abilities.
Oh.
That's all I can give you today. You know what? Maybe I'll give you a nice juicy tidbit next week. Well, the truth is that not everyone gets their 15 minutes of fame. Some don't get any at all. They live and die in complete and utter obscurity, but you don't have to. Send your questions to us in MP3 format to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. And hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to be interviewing Chavat Yearly of Crytek, the folks behind Crysis. So you can send questions for him as well. That's pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. Or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record a question for the podcast crew or Chavat Yearly of Crytek. And remember, keep it brief and avoid harsh language.
Maximum interview.
You can also become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week if we don't see you at Showdown, which will be held very soon.
Details at showdownland.com.
Showdownland.com.
I'm thinking about going to the San Mateo Showdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, hello, everybody. If you go to Showdown, you get automatically, no extra charge, a free copy of Far Cry 2. That's awesome.
Is that every Showdown?
That's if you pay for a seat, not if you just walk in, unfortunately.
That's why I slipped no extra charge in there.
Is that at everyone or just one of them?
That's at all of them.
What?
I believe you get that, and I believe you also get a copy of Sacred 2. So it's two games. Ooh. It's like the best deal going.
And I will also add that if you go to the Showdown in Peoria, Illinois, and the Showdown in Worcester, Massachusetts, and the Showdown in San Mateo here in California, you will get in total 3 copies of Far Cry 2 and Sacred. So that the value just keeps adding up.
You'll also get to meet Logan is going to be at the Showdown in Worcester. Everybody except me will be at the Showdown in San Mateo.
Why wouldn't
and
you
then
be there?
Because my sister's getting married that weekend.
Get your priorities straight.
I gotta go. I gotta go do family stuff. And then the Showdown in Peoria, I think Evan and I are both going to be at. So come meet the editors.
I'll be more than happy to sign your copy of Far Cry 2, but if you want to actually keep it in good condition, then I'll just sign your Dixie cup or whatever. Anyway, we'll see y'all next week. We'll see you next week if we don't see you at Showdown, which is not going to be before that. So we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye.
So what's up, guys?
Hold on a second, I'm watching this. Hold on. Holy sh! You see, there's police chase in Houston this morning.
What? No.
This guy got nailed. That's what you get f***ing with the cops. This guy was insane. Holy
sh! Links?
It's on YouTube right now. I just type in Houston police chase.
Awesome.
This guy was
Do
afraid.
I hear? Do I hear the dulcet tones of Gary Whitta?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
How's it going?
Before we move on, Andy, I think your dad's owning some noobs. on VF2.
It's going to be like that.
It is. Because it sounds like you don't have very much bandwidth for your voice.
I'm falling into the abyss again?
Yeah.
Hold. Okay, give me a second.
Cool.
Dad! Stop wearing that!
Hey, I have to do what I have to do.
You're embarrassing me on the podcast!
Andy, stop downloading Warhammer in the background.
BitTorrent. You can't BitTorrent and podcast at the same time.
How good do you think your bandwidth will be like 10 more years from now? Do you think we'll all have like Fios Plus connections?
Hopefully. We should have them by now.
I don't know. Well, let's see. Let's think about what the Japanese
if you can afford it, maybe.
Make it 1/100th of that.
Do you guys have Fios in the Bay Area?
No. We don't.
No.
I type in every week my zip code into the Verizon site and it says not available.
I don't think it's even come close to here, has it?
They have it in Palo Alto from Stanford.
Oh, bastards! What should we hit next? I don't know anything. What's flagship becomes Runic?
I don't know. Are we still doing? No. We're still doing this podcast. It's still going on.
Star Trek. I spaced out on that.
We should do flag.
I wasn't even aware we were still here.
Yeah. Oh, let's take questions.
Oh, right.
Good plan.
It's a fantastic idea. I'd love to hear some questions.